buying us back. Praise the Lord for tremendous songs. Hope you take the time to think through those thoughts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians is a unique book in the fact that Paul is writing concerning a lot of questions, a lot of struggles and problems within a church. And although maybe a lot of different things, certainly things that we go through even still today. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said, and that is very true. There's nothing new under the sun, and guess what? The struggles that they went through back in Corinth during this time are struggles that we still go through today. Now, I know I'm going to propose to you some of the such situation there concerning the immorality that was going on, and probably the response by many of you could be like, we don't still see that today and within the church. Why do we need to learn this? And I suggest to you that there are struggles with this today, but I'll get into that here in just a little bit. I want to explain the twisted perspective that is out here. Notice tonight I entitled The Differences in Desires. We obviously were made with desires, right? Every one of us has desires. I think that God gave us desires. In fact, even the scripture says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. All right, desires can come from the Lord, and God can certainly give us certain specific desires to desire. I think that as a Christian, he gives us a desire to be with his people. There's no doubt that God gives Christians desires to be with other Christians. It doesn't even make sense to me how somebody as a Christian would not want to be with other Christians, not want to spend time talking and fellowshipping and rejoicing and helping and encouraging. As Christians, we ought to have that. We ought to have that desire. In fact, if you don't have that desire, the answer is not necessarily to question your salvation, but say, what is the pathway in between me and that desire that's getting in the way? That'd be the first question to ask, is what in my life is keeping me from desiring the things that God wants me to desire? Because, brothers and sisters, God wants us to desire being with other Christians. But that's just one element. There's a lot of elements. God certainly gives us certain desires. Desires to do right, desires to please him, desires to be victorious. He gives us desires of our hearts. But certainly we are capable of coming up with counterfeit desires in our lives, things that we think are going to make us happy that do not. And so there's a twisted perspective that these folks had in this church in Corinth concerning their desires. Some of the Greek thinking in their philosophy was this, okay? They recognized that their bodies were physical bodies. And so what they determined that their bodies were, you know, physical things were, you know, wrong. Physical things are wrong, but because we're bodies, because we're given this, that it must be that carries through, that we ought to just, that it is okay for us to then to meet all the needs of the body. All right, we are created, we understand that food is something that we desire. Kind of an interesting thing. Why don't we go ahead and look at the passage, just, you know, as we look at this verse, and then, because I think I'm already starting to explain. So let's just look at it. It's certainly a twisted perspective. Let me just share what was going on there. I want to show you how this is here. When I say here, I don't know that you have the twisted thought, but it's certainly in our circles. And then go through the passage and see the errors that were there. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13. Understand, actually, if you back up in the last couple of verses, you see that there's a topic of immorality that was there. There was immoral things happening in the church. Even since the beginning of chapter 1, we've been reading about some immoral things that are going on. And he wants to show that we don't have a right to be immoral. In fact, we go back to verse 9, and he begins to state that some of these things, you know, God, if this is a life effort of yours, then that kind of a person is not going to heaven. It is not a characteristic of a saved individual to continue on in life in these things and feel nothing of it. Be okay with it. Live that way. And so he gives some of those things in verses 9 and 10. He says in verse 11, this is where you guys all came from. By the way, don't ever, especially in this category of immorality that we look at. We're looking at, you know, immorality among people. It is very easy for us When I say us, it is easy for all of us to look at other people and the world. Hasn't the world really abused the immorality that is? I would say that there's always been an immoral world, but it's getting to it. Just like Romans 1 said that it's getting to the point to where, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, coming up with as many things to be immoral with. I'll leave it there, but it kind of blows a person's mind where we've taken it to the extreme of trying to find the answers to these desires. Somebody tell me, what are people missing? Because they're digging deep to find the ultimate, if I could even put it this way, fulfillment with their lustful desires. Somebody tell me, what are they missing? Go ahead. Maybe you don't. Maybe I'm not making my question clear enough. You don't realize that God created all of us with a desire within us for Himself, but people are not willing to believe that God is the answer to it. So that's why our world is digging deeper to figure out the ultimate fulfillment. What can we get? I mean, again, it's not new. I would say Solomon was really, he proved it wrong. And in fact, in the book of Lamentations, didn't he show that he was wrong? He tried. You know what? He tried and tried and tried, and he thought it was going to be the ultimate fulfillment. And it did not happen. It did not happen. The same thing is very true. Our world is thinking that these things are going to be the fulfillment. Our world is missing the fact that God has been standing there right all along saying, listen, I will be that fulfillment to you. He presented that to his people in Israel. He presents it to us. I will be your fulfillment. But people will not believe that, and they're digging deeper into trying to figure out what it is. But anyways, he says, such were some of you. You used to come from this, but you've been saved. You've been justified. You've been cleaned. You've been cleansed. Then he goes on in verse 12, all things are lawful unto me. So there were people that were obviously saying, you know, well, what's wrong with this? This is okay. We can do this. We're saved. We're under grace. Whatever the case was, they were justifying these things. But he said, okay, so it might be legal and lawful, but is it expedient? There's another altogether question, you know, is this helping? Is this pushing you towards God? Okay, you can argue all you want to that this is not, you know, chapter and verse is not denied, but what is it helping you honor and glorify God? There's another altogether question. Is it expedient? Is this promoting your love to the Lord? He says, all things are lawful to me, all things are not expedient. So it's certainly not helpful. If it's not expedient, then you shouldn't do it. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Last week we looked at this, and we see how it's so easy, folks. By the way, and the main passage here, the main thought in context here is immoral things that are so powerful in our lives. And they get to be so habit-forming. And people, I will say this, people could be very addicted to these physical things. And understand, when I say physical things, these immoral physical things, it's not all played out physically, because it can be in our minds and in our emotions and then in our bodies. Remember, we went over those three things, and we were talking about the legalities of what God created. I'm saying physical immorality because I'm trying to be careful with what I'm saying, okay? So we're talking about this sort of lust-filled, immoral behavior that can be, again, mentally, emotionally, and physically, okay? And I believe that he's talking about all of them. And they can be very addictive. People are getting addicted. People in our churches are absolutely getting addicted to this kind of immorality. Things that they're looking at, things that they're seeing, things that they're thinking about, things that they're doing physically with their bodies and other people's bodies. It is very addictive, and people get enslaved to it. But my friend, that is not the whole scope of everything that is addictive in life, because there are a lot of other things that can be addictive. So many things in life can be habit-forming. And by the way, I ask you, how did you do this week? We had an invitation last week, and a number of you raised your hands, and I prayed for you this week. I can't say that I prayed for everybody by name because there were a number of hands that went up and I could not remember exactly everybody that raised their hands. But I want to tell you something. I did pray for you, and I hope that God is helping you to overcome some of the things that you have developed. Again, they might be legal things. They might be lawful things. They might even be decent things, but we don't want to be brought under the power of any. Okay, so we dealt with that last week and continue to pray. And I was just thankful for last week that God seemed to work in an amazing way. And I pray, just keep on it, though. Keep on it. We don't want to have anything be power in our lives except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be brought under the power of Him and His way, His word. So that was last week. And so he goes into this and now he moves on. So, you know, is it profitable or is it expedient? Is it bringing you under the bondage of something else? And then he goes into another twisted thinking with these people, okay? Notice what he says there in verse 13. He said, meat for the belly and belly for meat. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. All right, now I don't know if you caught all that. My attempt tonight is to try to help you understand what is being said here. And there's a lot of implications and applications to it. The first thing that I want to look at is the purpose. As we look at these things, it's going to help us understand what's being said here. What's the purpose? All right, first thing mentioned, meat is for the belly. Meats for the belly. Now, the word that is used there for meats is just another way, it was translated meats, but it's another kind of word for food. It's not just meat, okay? So you can't exclude bread and vegetables or anything like that. We're not talking about, you know, carnivores here, okay? We're talking about food, okay? It's the word that is used here, so you could put in there meat, but food for the belly. Meat or food, there's a purpose for it, and it's for what? What is the main purpose for food? Okay, the main purpose for food is for the body to provide nutrition, nourishment. Okay, that's the main purpose. Now, do we get pleasure out of food? What's the answer? We do. Okay, we just do. That's a way that God has made us. It's a pleasurable thing. But the main point of food is for the belly. Now, it's kind of interesting what he said. So he said meats or food for the belly. We understand that, right? It has been made. Food is for this. And what is one of the main functions of food? It goes into and it provides our body with nourishment. If any one of us stopped eating, when the person stops eating for a prolonged time, what's going to happen? The body is going to start to go away. And that's what's going to happen. We need food. It's food was made for that belly. Well, then he kind of flips the table on it, and he says that the belly is made for food. That's the purpose and why God gave. It's a body part, okay? It's a body part. It's a small part of the body that has an incredible role to assimilate the food that we eat. So the food is made so that we can eat it, so that it'll nourish the body. The belly is, as it's mentioned, the belly, or the stomach, if I want to put it that way. The stomach was made for that food, so the reception and assimilation of the food, the meat, the nourishment that is provided. Okay, that is the purpose of those two things. Now, before we get into the outcome of those things, we look next about the body. Notice there's four things here: meat for the belly and belly for the meat. Then, so we've got two of those things: meats, food, or belly. And then he talks about body, right? And then the Lord. Okay, those are the things that we want to talk about. Four things. So meat is and food is for the body or the belly specifically, the stomach for that food. Then we have the body. And what's the purpose of the body? We know that it's not for fornication. We'll get back to that later. But what is it for? The body is for the Lord, okay? You know that God created our bodies for the Lord. That's the purpose. We're just looking at the purpose statement here. The purpose of food, nourishment to help for the belly. And then we've got the belly, purpose, it's for that food. Next we have the body itself. Now, there's a difference between the belly and the body, right? One of them is just a tool to help the body. The other is the entire body. Okay? There's nothing, in a sense, I know you can take it and stretch it, but there's nothing within the stomach that is necessarily right or wrong. It's got a purpose. It's got a very physical, human purpose. The body is different. Notice, the body's on another realm of things. The body is for the Lord. The body is for the Lord. And the body, very specifically, is to glorify the Lord. Do we know any verses in Scripture that teach us about the body and the purpose of glorifying the Lord? I think you know in the same book, chapter 10 and verse 31, what does that verse say? I think most of you know it. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I want you to notice the pathway of my finger here. Okay, we call this vertical, right? Our body for the Lord. Just here in a couple verses. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Okay? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Okay? We're talking about a vertical relationship. Our bodies has a vertical relationship with the Lord. The body is for the purpose of the Lord. Okay? And then, on the opposite side of that, the Lord is to provide and to protect and to sustain the body, right? So the body for the Lord and the Lord for the body. Let me ask you a question. Is the Lord a key role player with... And when I understand, when I say the body, there's a lot more to it than the physical part of it. Because what is a part of our... And I know we... trichotomists, we divide up, you know, body, soul, and spirit. But when we're talking about the body here, we're talking about the whole person. Okay, the whole person. So don't get confused body so much with just the physical flesh, the muscles and bones and skin and organs like that, okay? I think the stomach is representing an organ, very fleshly part of that. The body that's used here is talking about you, your being, which includes your flesh. But it's much more than that. It's who you are. And by the way, who you are, we are meant to be very eternal, right? We were created to be eternal. God gave us, there's eternal life and eternal death, but we are not going to be destroyed and annihilated like some people think, okay? So we're talking about the entire body here. So we are for the Lord. Understand that you were created for Him. Oh, this is so key. Please understand this because this is going to help us make conclusions in the end. We were created for Him. Yeah, food were created for your belly, very physical and very temporal. The body or the belly for that food, very specific. Body, the entire you, created for the Lord. And we see that in Scripture. We were created for Him, and then the Lord, not that He was created, because He is the Creator, but the Lord's purpose is for us. And we know in Colossians 1:17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Are you thankful for the Lord in your life? Can you imagine where we would be without the Lord? Okay, so do you see the two entities, the two relationships that are there? Food and belly, body, all of us, and Lord. Okay? Purpose goes into position. Now, I said that body, us, and Lord was vertical. Food and belly is a horizontal plane. Now, food, stomach, body, Lord. Interesting thoughts, and one commentator brought this out. You could look at food and stomach and you could conclude that there's some possible vertical with it, some applications. Do we need to glorify the Lord through even things like our eating and things that we intake? Well, yes. So you could argue a little bit that maybe there's dual purpose there. It's certainly on this plane, right? Do we need food to survive? Yes, okay? So we understand this plane. It's right in here. This is life. Could we say that it has some sort of a vertical to it? Well, because everything that we do ought to be for the Lord's glory. Can we dishonor God with our eating? Well, of course we can. And so there is that, but not so much talking about that could be. So it could be that we could associate that more than with just a horizontal plane, maybe vertical, but I can tell you this. You cannot take the Lord, or excuse me, your body, and make any horizontal plane out of it. You could make vertical one, maybe. I hope I'm not losing you here. What I'm talking about is one is very earthly, very temporal, very much on this is natural life. That is true with food and stomach. I can maybe think through and say I can dishonor God with my eating. So maybe both. But we cannot take body and Lord and make it horizontal, amoral. You ever heard somebody say, well, that's amoral? Moral, amoral. People have said certain things, well, amoral, that means it just, and there's other words to it, but just it just kind of exists. There's nothing moral about it. You know, take for example this pulpit here. There's nothing necessarily moral about it, right? It's a thing. I mean, yes, you can say, well, you can glorify God with it. Yeah, but it's something in and of itself. I probably picked something wrong because some of you might look at a pulpit, you know, as something that, well, that's used for the Lord. Maybe I should have used a chair, okay? It's just something that exists there, but in and of itself, it doesn't necessarily glorify the Lord in what it is. It just exists there, okay? You could maybe use it for the Lord, or maybe you could even use it against the Lord. That's what I was talking about, the horizontal. Maybe you could make a vertical out of it. But let's take the opposite. Let's take the Lord and the body. We cannot, and this is where the crux of the matter is here, we cannot take it and simply say that it is immoral, that it doesn't matter. Why? Well, because remember, but the body is created for who? The Lord! The body is created for the Lord. Do you realize that God did not create you to simply eat and get satisfied? God didn't create you for that. He gives us food so that we can sustain life, but He did not make you a human creature to consume food just to do it. Now, God has a purpose for animals, but I'm going to tell you something. Counter what the world teaches you. Honestly, folks, we're different than the animals that were created that in a sense, are very immoral, if I could put it that way. You know, when a dog, I don't care what you think, you might say bad doggy, but I want to tell you, when your doggy does something, he's not sinning. He might not be doing what you want him to do, but he's not sinning because God didn't make them creatures like that, okay? But my friends, there's a lot of people out there today that are saying that we are animals. And what they're trying to do in position here, I told you the purpose is in position, they're trying to make a case that as the body, or as food is for the body, so are bodies. And they wanted to take away out Lord, and they're saying our bodies are for pleasure and desire. But my friends, I want to tell you something. You cannot, because that goes against, you've got to go back to the purpose. God created our bodies. He created you for His honor and for His glory. There is no way. And here's a premise here. There is no way. And we're going to get deeper into it. You still might be lost, but I'm going to tell you, this is the premise behind what we're going to look at. There's no way that we can take our bodies and call them immoral and it doesn't matter. Make them the same as the relationship with food and belly. Because body goes up to the Lord and the Lord down here. You cannot make it on this plane. Now let's get a little deeper in here, because I think probably some of you are a little confused with what I have said. Sometimes I know what I'm talking about, but you don't. But that I'm trying to get to, I think if we go through some more, let's look at the partnership here, okay? Let's look at the partnership here. We understand there's a partnership between food and the belly, and they're united together in a task on a horizontal plane. There's the body and the Lord, and they're united together in a very vertical plane. Notice the examples that are given. Jump down to verse 14, and maybe I should exposit these verses. That's not the plan for the night. But if you go down to the next verse, verse 14, notice what is said here. Two things that we see, one in verse 14, one in verse 15, concerning this relationship of the body and the Lord. In verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord, who will also raise up us by His own power. So we see that we're raised up with Him together. And then we see in verse 15, "Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." Okay? What he's saying there, as we look at this partnership, we understand food and belly, they're united together as partners. God and the Lord are united together. We're in verse 14, we're raised up together with Him and we become members of Christ. Guess what? You cannot divide and be together. You cannot be divided. You're one. Do you realize that when we got saved and the Holy Spirit baptized us into His body, and so we are one together? You cannot separate it. These people were actually trying to separate it. They were saying that the bodies, no, they're not. They're just on this kind of a level. And Paul makes the case here. He said, listen, you've got to understand that you're one now with Christ. You cannot separate. Again, very foundational to the outcome of what these people were trying to confuse. You are one with Christ. Understand that. We're one with Christ. And what does he say in this verse? What happens when we try to divorce that? We have been put into him, and then we try to go out there and participate in things that go against him. What does he call us? What is that called? It's harlotry. It's going away from that first love and doing what we want to do. Again, you notice there in verse 15, "Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot?" Folks, can I tell you something very simple here? When we as Christians who have been united together, one with Jesus Christ, the body for the Lord and the Lord for the body, and we go out and we're one with Him and we go out and we do whatever we want to with our bodies, but listen up, we do whatever we want to with our minds and our eyes, we do whatever we want to with our emotions. When we do that, we are involved in harlotry because we're trying to divide up what's put together as one. Adulterous. You know, when two are married, they come together and know what God put together, let no man put asunder. And then we attempt to step out of that and say, listen, but I want this. What we're doing is we're being adulterous against God. We are not being faithful to Him. And He's given us everything. God says, of course, God forbid that we ought to do this. All right, so we see the partnership there. We'll get to some applications here in just a moment. Let's look at the product. Okay, what's the outcome? Go back, you know, to verse 13. What is the outcome? You know, we got the belly, we got the food that was created for the belly, and we've got the belly that was created for food. What's going to be the outcome of these things? What does this passage say? They're going to be destroyed. I know some of you are really looking forward. Some of you have been hanging your hats on the passage that talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb and how we're going to like eat and we're going to feast up. Now, but I want to tell you something. You know what? We might be able to do that for desires, but do you realize that food is going to be done away with for sustenance? Now, again, I don't exactly know where I'm going to land totally theologically with this. You know, we say, well, Pastor, will we eat in heaven? Well, I think there's evidence that we're going to eat, but I know one thing. I don't believe that eating is going to be a part of everyday life for sustenance because we don't need that sustenance anymore. We've got a new body. It's going to be something new. And so, what's it going to be like? I don't know. I don't know what, but I know that I think if there's going to be something like eating, I think it's going to be more of a desirous thing that God gives, but it's not going to be a necessary thing. And what he says here is these things are very, very temporal. Food for sustenance and stomach for digestion. We won't need a stomach anymore to digest food because it's not a part, that's a part of the breaking down of life, but it's not a part of eternal life. So those things are going to be taken away. And so that's an interesting thought to think of. It'd be a sidetrack tonight to think about what's going to happen in heaven. That's a sidetrack. But those things are going to be done away. Those things are going to be very earthly minded. By the way, you don't realize why it's so hard to think about the way things are going to be in heaven is because we're so this plane think. That's all we know. We don't understand this. I will say this, the closer we get to God and more of our lives that are on this level, the more I think we can think about the things of heaven because we understand that all these things aren't that big of a deal. Now, these people in Corinth lived on very much this plane. They were not living in this plane. My friends, I want to tell you, some of the reasons why people are getting confused with some of these things is because we're living a lot on this plane. We're very much thinking about physical appetites, and we're not thinking about our relationship with the Lord. That's a reason why we've got to walk with the Lord, why we've got to have a relationship with Him. Not so much that we know about heaven, but that we have that, and it's going to make sense more, I think, the things of, it's going to be eternal thinking Okay, so we need to have a relationship with God. But understand, the outcome of this plane, it's all going to be done away with. You know what? We're not going to need bellies anymore for food, and we're not going to need food anymore for that belly. Done away with. But what about the other? What does he say here about the other relationship? So those are going to be destroyed. The necessity of these things are going to be destroyed in the body and the Lord. What is given here? What's going to happen? When the Lord is resurrected, our bodies are going to be resurrected, okay? So there's resurrection as a result of that. And how long is that resurrection for? Forever. One will be destroyed. You see, why is he telling us there? He's setting up, he's building a case for the reality of their mixed up and twisted question. He said, listen, one of them is going to be soon destroyed. It's not that big of a deal at all. It's a very earthly and temporal thing. The other is going to be eternal. You know what Paul is really trying to do? He's trying to turn their attention. He's like, you are so earthly minded. I'm trying to turn your attention to something. Why would we live this life so temporal when we're going to live forever eternal? All right? And by the way, if we're twisted in our thinking with this, it's because we're so much temporal. Okay? The proper perspective. I'm getting towards the end here where we're going to make application. The proper perspective, as I just mentioned, one is temporal, one is eternal. We see that in verses 13 to 14. We could even look at the words amoral and versus moral. Food and belly, honestly, in that regard, very amoral. Okay, it's just, and by the way, I'm not making a case that it doesn't matter what you eat, please. But at the same time, food, belly, that's what we're supposed to do. And God made food clean. You're supposed to eat food. Yes, we can dishonor God through that, but that's not the point. It's very much on this level. It's going to be destroyed. It's just a temporary thing right now for life. You eat to survive, right? And our body assimilates that food very much on this plane. And so if we could say in that regard, it's very amoral. Eating is not a sinful thing. It's just a necessary thing. However, body and Lord, moral thing, understand that. It's moral. There's nothing that we can take with our bodies and call that amoral. Now, all that being said, let's make some practical applications. So therefore, we cannot look at physical morality. And again, I hope that I'm not confounding and making things because I'm trying to make them appropriate. God has created bodies. He's created a union. He's created man. He's created woman. He has given a unique gift of togetherness physically to be together. He's created it, and he's given it as a gift to man. But it's in the confines, and we've been talking about this for months, it's in the confines of the legalities that he put, right? And what are those legalities? One man, one woman for life. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. Okay, so God has said, and then he says, as a couple, then I'm giving you this gift to enjoy different purposes. I've given you this. There's an outside of the bounds that's illegal. Okay? We cannot look at these illegal things, these appetites, the same as other human appetites. Can anybody tell me why? Why cannot we look at the same? Because God has made them on this level, not on this level. God does not address much in Scripture. I know that there were some laws, but God does not dictate and rule a bunch of legal and illegal things on eating. God does give us rules on our morality and with the gift that he's given to us. He does. He very clearly tells us this is right, this is wrong. This is undefiled, this is defiled. This is wonderful, this is wicked. God is very clear with that. That is on this level because it has to do with the Lord. It's vertical. You see, what these people were doing is they're saying, hey, listen, I have a body, and this is what my body desires, and so therefore, I ought to be able to do this. But remember, he's saying, listen, no, food and belly are different because I made them that way. But body, see, when we partake, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, or whether it's emotional, it's a part of this body. And by the way, any time that you are immoral in your act, it's a part of the whole body. It's not just, you cannot designate this immorality with just my body and it doesn't affect the mind. You know that that's impossible to do? You cannot divorce it from even your emotions. Why? Because the body is one unit. The body is not some physical organ. The body is a spiritual entity that God has made for Himself. We cannot take these bodies and just call them a body part. Maybe that makes a little bit more sense. There's a difference between a body part, okay? And yes, the whole body together needs to glorify the Lord, but He doesn't command, you know, this knee, you know, to do right. But the knee is part of my whole body that needs to do right, and it involves my emotions, it involves my thoughts, and it involves my body. And those things are on a completely different plane. It's a plane with the Lord. And so as we look at this, we cannot take two things and say, you know what, I have a desire for this, but God put parameters on it. There's nothing wrong necessarily with a certain desire as long as it's within God's parameters. But if it defiles the parameters, then it ought not be done. See, these people were saying it must be okay because I have a desire and God has given me a body to do this, but they're wrong. God did not give them a body to go against Him. God gave them a body to go with Him. United, one, together. Together with its partner. We must examine and obey Scripture with all physical morality in these areas to know how to live and practice. So with our bodies, we take the Word of God. You know what? I cannot necessarily take the Word of God and know exactly should I eat this cut of meat or this cut of meat. But I tell you what, I can take the Word of God and I can look at what it says, what I should do with my body in a physical and mental and emotional way. I can. God is very clear and He tells me through His Word. And so He's going to tell me so we can examine what the Scripture says. So what does God say about our eyes? Does God give some instructions about how we ought to look at other people? And even in realms with our desires. Now let's get honest here, and I know we're getting out of time, but let's get honest. Has God got, in God's gifts that He's given to us, He's made us to desire to look upon other people? He just has. It's kind of a crazy thing. But He has. Example, he's given men the desire to look at the beauty of a woman. But I can tell you this, it has to be within God's bounds or it's wrong. See, God has given boundaries for even the eyes and what we ought to look at. I've talked to other people. I'm not joking. I have talked. See, this is where the rubber meets the road here. I have talked to men in church, and even this church. I've talked to men and they've said, listen, God gave me eyes and God gave a woman beauty, then shouldn't I have the right to look at God's beauty? Now that's exactly where the rubber meets the road here. What's wrong with that thinking? Did God give eyes to behold beauty? What's the answer? Yes. Did God give beauty to humanity? What's the answer? Yes. Did God give me permission to take my eyes and look at any maid, if I want to put it that way, as far as Scripture goes? Does God give me that permission to do that? No, because He's made us moral creatures. This is not just something here on this plane. We cannot take the eyes and associate them just with our bellies. We can't do that. You see, the belly. And if we wanted to, I could designate an eye, but we're talking about the entire body here. You see, when I'm looking, it involves more than one plane here. Eating is really on this plane. I know that we can keep saying it, but we can. Some of you would say, well, it can be wrong too. But we're talking about what's right and wrong according to Scriptures. But the Scriptures are very clear with my eyes, what I ought not look at and what I can look at. Right? We've got to do that. So we understand that God created eyes, but eyes can go wrong. You know, beauty. We say, well, God created beauty, and can't we behold that? God said no unless it's within the confines of what He's given. Can I tell you this, guys? Listen, you, everybody listen to this, because I've heard it more than once. I've heard it. It's whatever. Well, God gave me eyes. God gave beauty. Therefore, can I do that? Guys, we have no right to look on beauty outside of what God has given to us. We don't have a right to behold that beauty. We don't. Maybe this is going to upset your apple basket, but I'm telling you, I'm sorry, guys. We don't have the right to go out there and look at the beauty that's out there. That's this plane. And God said no. You see where the applications are starting to go with this? Because a lot of people are justifying a lot of things that they're doing, and they're saying it's okay. It is not okay. God has given certain things that are right, and we need to go according to those bounds. You know, I mentioned the beauty. There are people that justify certain actions because God gave them things within their body, and they're justifying it. And I don't even think that I can talk about everything that I can, but I want to tell you, I'll just say this. Everybody listen to this. Be careful with justifying these types of physical, mental, and emotional things for pleasure. And by the way, we go back to last week's subject. A lot of things are very addictive. And let me tell you, there are a lot of people that are addicted to things. And there are people in the world that are justifying these things because God made you to do certain things and He made you to feel good. And I'm telling you, it's against God. There's a lot of young people that are confused. Is this wrong? Is this right? I'm going to tell you something. God made your body for Him within the confines of marriage. Husband and wife. Rights for the husband over the wife's body and wives for the bodies, the wife, the husband's body, and vice versa like that. And anything else is contradictory to God's plan. Does everybody catch that? Anything else is wrong on this level, not this level. I hope that you're getting what I'm saying. We've got to be so careful. Your body is for the Lord. And you think about it, any time that any moral thing is being done, it involves not only the body, but it involves the mental and the emotions. It's all together. Why? Because you are a body, not a conglomeration of body parts. Maybe that helps a little bit too. You know what? Would I be the same person if I were dead and you dissected, if you took a person and you dissected them into a bunch of body parts and then you pulled those body parts all together, would that be a body according to the Scripture? What's the answer? No, it's not a body, because a body is all of me. If I am dead, then I'm not. It's not me. That is so important, because the world is living as a bunch of body parts and like animals, because we're just parts. But God made us bodies. God made us entities. God made us for Him. We have no right to take this and use it like body parts. I think that might be good. I hope that makes sense. We are not body parts. And so don't use body parts. We've got to honor and glorify the Lord. And we have no right to twist it, to twist the thinking, to do certain things. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to give a gross example of, and a major example of something, because, you know, I would never want it to happen here. There's another element. And I want to be careful in what I say here, but I grew up and I had a friend. I wouldn't call him a close friend, but even a friend in the ministry. But there was another friend in the ministry. that I had. And we fellowshipped with that family before. I can't remember if we fellowshipped or if that was just with that, when I was in my... Did we? You know who I'm talking about? You're still trying to figure it out. There was a good family. He was a pastor of a church. Now you know who I'm talking about. Did we? I think I even went to preach for him in his church and whatever while he was gone one time. Had a bunch of kids, nice family, tons of kids, big old family, lots of little kids. This individual, this man, was living a secret life, and he was committing immoral acts with his daughters. He got thrown in prison, big old mess. And by the way, none of you know who I'm talking about. This individual was thrown in prison. As far as I know, still there. Probably will be there for the rest of his life. Justifying what he did because he had a right. And all of you are saying, what? There's no way. How can you do that? You know what the problem in his thinking was? I'll tell you what. He divorced the idea that his body was God's. And God sets parameters. There's no way in Scripture you can justify immoral acts with your own family like that. There's no way, because God is very clear. There's no way. None of us could take the Scriptures and try to turn that apart. But there was a flaw in that man's thinking, because he was taking his body and he was looking at it on this level as body parts. And he was justifying that he had a right to do that because God made him for that. And I want to tell you something. You say, why do we hear this tonight? Because you need to hear this so that you never end up in that sort of a category. Because that's where these people were. That's where these people were. These people were in this situation, and Paul is addressing it. He's saying, listen, don't you understand what's going on? You're completely confused on your philosophy of what your body is. Yes, that food is for your belly, and the belly for that food, and that's going to be destroyed. You don't have to worry about for that for the rest of life. But God has made you into a body, and you have been baptized into Christ, and therefore you better glorify the Lord. Anything else is adultery, and it's fornication, and you need to get away from that. Folks, I want you to understand that you don't have any right over your eyes. Guys, you have no right by God, even though he gave you eyes, to look on things you ought not look at. You don't have a right to do that. You don't have a right to use your mind to think on things you ought not think about. You have no right to use your body or body parts to do anything that go outside of what God says. We don't have any right to do it. We've got to get away from that because our body is for the Lord. And so whatever God says, we do. Whatever God says we shouldn't do, we don't do, period. Please don't confuse what God has said concerning the morality of our body parts and our body as a whole. Very, very, very important in the outcome of how we live our lives. God forbids that we should justify any type of morality in our lives, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, or whether it's mental. God did not create us for that. We cannot justify it, and so we need to get away from it. Lord, would you please help us to not justify these things like the world does, like many people do. God, we are on a different level. You have created us for your glory. You've created us to be moral creatures. You have created us to be to the praise of your glory. God, would you help us? God, would you help us to stop justifying gratification of our parts when we ought to be worshiping you as a whole in our lives. God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.